This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher Skis. Hi, everyone. This is episode number 56 with Renee McCurdy and Dan Thompson. I've been meaning to do an episode with Renee for a long time, and I'm glad we finally got to do it. I'm sorry if I sound a little shot. This was the second of third interviews after a full day of skiing at Lake Louise in Banff, and I was for sure beat up. I think I catch a second wind on the second group of episodes with Andrew and Corey Seaman. But you know, it is what it is. I hope it's okay. Like, I always get super self-conscious about how I sound as an interviewer on these things, because it's important. I don't want, like, I am already kind of lackadaisical with my approach to this anyway, but I don't want people to think that I don't care about it, because I for sure do. But sometimes on these back-to-back-to-backs, the second one's the toughest of the group. Not that this didn't come out great. Renee killed it. So did Dan. They're both excellent human beings, and I'm super psyched that I got the chance to talk to both of them and meet Dan. I kind of ran into him on the hill, but I had to run down to the bottom of the hill and do some work stuff and didn't get the opportunity to really ski with him. But he's an awesome dude, and like, I think that comes across really well in this interview. Before we jump into it, I would just like to shout out a quick sponsor here. Burn Helmets is on the program. I don't know if I've mentioned that before, but you can shop with promo code Out of Bounds at burnhelmets.com and save on your purchase. These guys are awesome. Both Tim and Pete, who's our local sales rep, but Tim is the marketing guy there, and I'm super psyched to be able to work with these guys. They've got tons of energy, and I think they're going to do big things with the company overall. I just got myself a new Burn FL1 helmet, and I'm for mountain bike season, and I'm pretty psyched on it. So you guys should check that out. You can go to their website. It's just burnhelmets.com. They've also just launched the new Brentwood 2.0, which is just a lower profile version of their Brentwood. And I think you guys will be psyched on it. So if you're looking for a commuter bike helmet, cross-country mountain bike helmet, which is that FL1 that I have, or you're looking for a winter helmet, you can shop on their website and use promo code Out of Bounds to save some dough on your purchase. So thank you to those guys. Be sure to follow them on Instagram as well. It is it's just burnhelmets.com. Burnhelmets.com. Yeah, that's their Instagram page. Burn Helmets is their Instagram page. I also would like to shout out First Chair Travel Co., Mike, Mel, Alex, the whole crew there for putting together an awesome travel experience for me, and I know the rest of the group as well. You will hear, hopefully, if I can get them edited in here right, you will hear a couple sound bites either at the end or at the beginning of one of these episodes once I figure this out. It was just an awesome trip, man. I would highly recommend anybody that wants to see the Banff area. This dude has experience and can show everybody a great time every night of the trip. It's fun. It's a good environment. I've said that 9 times now. So, I mean, you have to, I guess if you say it 9 times, you have to believe me, right? So for sure, check them out. You can find them on social media at First Chair Travel Co. For Facebook or for Instagram, either one. We're planning on doing a few other trips next year as well, but Banff is for sure on the list, and I will definitely be there. So if you want to come hang out with me and the rest of the crew, definitely sign up for that trip in advance. I'm sure registration for it will be available sometime this fall. But if you have questions, be sure to hit up them on Instagram, or if you need direct contact info for any of the crew, I for sure can get you that. So just hit me up. It's just adam@outofpodcast.com, or obviously you can reach me in the DMs. Without further ado, here is our episode. Wow, I'm screwing up a lot of easy words today. You would think I would just edit this out, but I'm not going to. Just going to run it how it is. You can find Renee McCurdy on the gram at Renee McCurds. And you can find Dan Thompson on the gram at Dano Thompson. They plug it at the end of the episode as well. And obviously I will remind you guys as usual, but here's our episode number 46. Is that what this is? It's crazy. No, 56. I am crazy. Episode number 56 with Dan Thompson and Renee McCurdy.
Cool. So
why don't you guys tell, you can go one at a time and tell each other, tell whoever's listening who you are, what you do.
My name's Renee McCurdy. I'm a nursing student in Calgary, and I'm part of the Ski Big 3 team, skiing most, Lake Louise is my home mountain, so it's my main spot, but I've gotten to explore Sunshine and Norquay a lot more this year, and it's pretty sweet, just balancing school and ski comps and just skiing for fun and work and everything else.
Doing all the things.
All the things.
What about you?
Okay, my name's Daniel Thompson. Dano Thompson is my Instagram. I'm a local kind of media guy, mostly video. Filmmaking is my kind of specialty, but I also do photography because it just kind of...
They go together kind of.
Yeah, goes hand in hand. But yeah, storytelling is my big thing.
Nice.
I'm stoked to be able to work with Ski Big 3 and some of the ski hills and stuff. And yeah.
Sick.
Spread the stoke. Spread the vibe.
Is that how you guys know each other? Is from Ski Big 3?
From Lake Louise.
Yeah.
Renee used to be a ski patroller at Lake Louise.
Cool.
And yeah, I know a lot of the patrollers there.
Yeah.
Ski a lot of Lake. Lake Louise is my home mountain too.
Really?
Yeah. But I love Sunshine and Norquay too.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to show
ups,
all the love.
Big ups.
Yeah. Got to show all the love. Spread it around.
It's been nice because I couldn't ski those mountains before. I didn't have a pass. And being in school, it's like you can't afford to go all these other places.
Yeah.
So now I actually get to go and explore. And it's like almost like having new mountains to ski. And they're so close.
Right. So has Ski Big 3 been that? Like, it's been a group like that forever? Is that the deal? I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure. But I think it's been maybe like 10 years of this kind of joint.
Yeah.
Marketing, and then the multi-resort pass.
That's
so cool. Basically, the three ski hills are joint owners of Ski Big 3.
Right.
And so they market themselves together internationally.
How do you guys feel about the whole Icon Pass thing? Do you like it or do you dislike it?
I mean, more people skiing can't be a bad thing, right? More people coming here.
Yeah.
It can't be a bad thing.
Yeah. It's been weird. Like, in the States, we've gotten a lot of... I think it's mostly just Facebook bullshit. Like, it's a lot of like, there's too many people at a mountain that used to be dead and now it's too busy. But it's like, we were just complaining about it being too dead, you know? And now we're complaining about it being too
busy. Yeah, I read about that at Big Sky. Right?
Big Sky and Jackson, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, no Icon.
It's crazy. But you guys haven't seen that as much. Like, it hasn't been a nuisance yet.
No, it's not that bad here. Like, I have friends out in Whistler and they complain about the lineups and stuff. And here, it's really like... Yeah, it gets a bit busier on weekends, but once you get everyone up, if it's not a major holiday, it all spreads out. Like, I don't know. I could count on one hand this year the amount of times I've spent more than 2 minutes in a lineup. That's so rare. Yeah.
Yeah, that is, like, honestly the biggest kind of almost selling point.
Yeah, maybe don't tell everyone that, but actually, it is pretty good.
Yeah, maybe we won't tell everybody that. Like, maybe that's the secret is, like, we just won't talk about it. Like, that's, like...
Yeah, except, like, on, like, big powder days, you'll get kind of half a Calgary to come down.
Really?
Yeah. But we don't get a lot of huge, huge kind of big dumps like that, so...
It was pretty busy. We did Sunshine yesterday.
Yeah.
It was decently busy, but Sunshine's like, it's weird, man. Like, it's like there's lifts going fucking this way and this
everywhere,
way and
yeah.
everywhere. It's like, and then there's goats and then there's the other thing and there's just lifts like counter. Like, at home, it's like, there's a mountain, there's the top, like, you know where you are. But there, it's like, you'd be lost for a while, like, for sure.
Yeah, you can get kind of lost and, like, stuck. You're like, oh no. But once you know the drill of Sunshine, it is amazing. Because you can go all over. So you start at the top and work your way down to Goat's Eye and then go back up again, do another dive lap.
Yeah.
And then, it's amazing. And then they have, like, great kind of, like, side country stuff to the Sunshine,
Yeah, it's fun.
And on a sunny spring day, it's pretty sweet.
Pretty sunny.
Yeah, they're open late, and their park is so fun, especially this year. They've done such a good job shaping the park jumps. It's super floaty.
Right.
Yeah, really liking it.
How much time do you actually spend in the park?
Not a ton. I cannot do rails to save my life. But I, like, more and more I've figured out the park jumps and just trying to do more tricks off there where it's more consistent and getting used to being in the air more. And I have to say it's, like, actually helped my big mountain skiing a lot.
Yeah, it probably translates pretty well.
Yeah, just getting the pop and, like, figuring out tricks and all that.
Hmm.
Yeah, just getting the air sense.
Yeah, just feeling. Yeah, it is a weird thing. It's a totally different thing. Like, you can be a really good grounded skier, yeah, but once, as soon as you get in the air.
But jumping off rocks is way funner.
Yeah, for it sure. Is way I agree. It is, especially when there's more some fun. Soft snow. Yeah, it's, yeah, funner's a word for sure. Like, we can make it right now. Like, we'll just pretend it's a word for the rest of this interview, and then you can do whatever you want with it. It's good. How long have you been here?
I've been here for like 4 years and a bit. Yeah, I used to live in Toronto.
Cool.
I worked in kind of documentary television and stuff. And then my sister lives out here, and she was just about to have a baby, and I kind of big relationship ended, and I just needed a change. I've always been like a passionate skier my whole life, and so I just came out here to like ski for a winter and to kind of figure my life out maybe a bit, or not, just to take stock.
Yeah.
Of yeah, because it was like a long relationship, and you know, in those end, you kind of.
It gets weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So I just needed a change, and it is amazing out here. So.
Yeah, you've been happy with it so far, huh?
Yeah, and just having my sister and my little niece, and I live with them.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, so it's super fun. That's awesome. Uncle Meanie, that's what she calls me. It's great.
Uncle Meanie, huh? Yeah. How come? Are you mean?
It's just like a joke, yeah. Yeah. And she calls me Uncle Coffee because I drink a lot of coffee.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, smart. That's all I've been living on this week. Yeah. It's the only way you can. Yeah.
But I've been teaching her to ski this year. Like, she's like 4, and she's already a little shredder.
Really?
Yeah, straight down. Bam.
Kids have no fear, huh?
It's like it's so, amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah, she started lessons like last year. This is her second season.
Sick.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
It's an amazing thing to watch kids like learn new stuff, like, and then realize they learned a new thing and then just get so psyched on it. Like, it's, you see it all the time here. And skiing's like one of those things where like it's like a very definitive line kind of when you learn something new and you kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
And then it's so much easier from there, and you have that confidence, you can do it. And kids, like, totally, like, they're all about it. It's a good thing to see, for sure.
Yeah, we go up to Norquay is our little spot, because that's, like, the kind of family family fun zone and for little kids, and it is amazing. And everybody's so nice up there. And
Norquay's pretty close to here, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, well, it's in town, just up the mountain there.
Yeah, I have like no reference points for anything here. It's like, I like, especially because like I didn't plan this trip for myself. It's just like,
yeah, you're just
like in the first chair guys like contacted me and were like, do you want to do this? And like it sounded great, and I was like, oh sure, I'll go. But like, this is the only trip that I've done all year, probably ever actually, where I didn't plan all the stuff myself. So it's like, I'm not paying attention to where I'm going, I'm not worrying about a car, I'm not worrying about all these things. It's like, it's so weird.
That's kind of relaxing though, right?
I like it, just dude. I feel like I'm not going to know how to do it the other way now. Like, I'm going to go home and be like, why am I doing it by myself? Like, why? Well, just have Mike do it. Just have somebody else do it. Like, that sounds way better. But I don't know. It is what it is. What about you? How'd you get here? And how'd you get into skiing?
Yeah, how did I get here? I grew up outside of Calgary for the most part.
Yep.
I grew up playing hockey, actually. That's my main sport, and then that translated to every single school sport there was, and eventually ended up on University of Calgary Dinos for track and field, and hurt my ankle. And then that was kind of when I started skiing, and they said, well, if you can put your foot in a ski or snowboard boot, it should be fine to let it heal up that way, and you can still like go out there and do stuff, just keep your feet on the ground. And I was like, well, sounds good to me. I snowboarded at the time and just tried skiing just for fun, and turned out I was pretty good at it. So I ended up starting skiing in university and just like kind of took off. I bought my first set of skis myself, and then I did my first degree in biology and finished that.
Yeah.
Was hoping to be a veterinarian and applied 3 times.
Yeah.
Closer and closer, didn't get in, and then I had no plan B. Everyone's like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
So I moved out here. I got a job on ski patrol at Lake Louise, and just like, well, I like skiing, so I guess I'm gonna ski for a year and figure it out. And that's exactly what I did. I figured out that humans are not the worst, and ended up applying to nursing, and I'm really liking it. Now I just ski and go to school and hopefully get to ski a lot more once it's done.
Yeah, you're still skiing a lot. Like, we talked about this before, but like, you're still getting a lot of days for someone that's doing like the whole school thing and like all of that stuff. Like, to get any days in is a big deal for sure. So definitely do. And how long have you been skiing? Like, you just started recently, right? Like, that's so soon to be doing it at this level. Like,
yeah, so I've been skiing. I worked it out. So when I bought my first set of skis myself. It was like Facebook memories came up at the beginning of the season, like 5-6 years ago, you bought your first set of skis. And I was like, wow.
That's awesome.
It's only been that long. And I skied like a tiny, tiny bit when I was growing up in like elementary school. And that was it until university. So
that's crazy. That's so weird, isn't it? Like how people get into, like getting into skiing is like a strange thing to me, you know, because like I'm in the ski industry, obviously. So like you hear all these different stories and it's like, but it all seems to be like, I don't know, I just wanted to do something fun and it seemed fun. And then I got good at it and then it became a thing. Like, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's totally.
Just a weird thing. Yeah. And dude, this is a nice place to figure it out. Like you both said that, like you both were like, I'm just kind of like taking stock and figuring it out. And like, people are so nice here. Like I was telling you before, like it's crazy. I don't know if you guys even notice it, like, because you live here, but like you guys are way nicer than people on the East Coast, like Canadians in general, but also like in this particular area, like it's insane.
Yeah. Cause you know, Toronto, it's not like that obviously. But it's just because I think everybody that's here is generally pretty happy because they get to play outside every day.
Yeah. Have you looked out there? Yeah. Like it is so pretty. Like we get to have fun all the time and live in this really cool place. You cannot walk out there and not be happy.
Yeah. No, it's pretty easy to
like,
be stoked about.
Yeah. And most people that are here want to be here. We're like, you know, how many people that live in Boston, you know, really want to live in Boston, really? But that's where their family's from. It's where they grew up. It's where their job is.
Yeah.
You know, you just get stuck in that kind of grind of...
They might want to be there, though, now. They've been there for so long. They're, like, part of it. They're, like, part of
well,
the,
they
like,
can't think
grime
of
and, like,
their,
the...
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the way I felt when I lived in, you know, Toronto, when I...
Toronto's not like this then, huh? Toronto, I don't know.
Toronto's
like, so like,
a big city. It's like Chicago. It's a pretty cool place. Like in the summer, it's amazing.
Right.
With the water and the sailing and stuff and just the kind of festival atmosphere. But in the wintertime, it's awful.
Really?
Because it doesn't snow enough and then it melts.
Yeah.
And then everybody complains about snow. It's like, it's like endless November.
Sounds like.
And then when it does snow, people get pissed off and complain about it.
That sounds exactly like New England. Like that's what
so
I mean.
It's
it
not
is.
A good place for skiing.
Yeah. No. I mean, yeah. But see, like New England is kind of a good place. For, like I think it makes you a better skier because you ski shit conditions most of the time. Like if you're going skiing, it's because you really want to go skiing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we used to go. We used to drive to. I grew up skiing at Jay Peak.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. So we would drive from Cobourg, Ontario, which is, you know, it was like 6 hour drive.
Shit.
And we would every other weekend. My mom would go up to Jay Peak and ski. Yeah. And my aunt and uncle lived up there. And so it was like, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Have you said you've been to the States before, like out west?
I've been to the States before out west, but I never skied there.
Really?
That's a thing that I still have yet to do. Well, I've skied in Montana in the summertime, but that's it.
Yeah, that counts. Still, kind of.
Yeah, it counts. It's still really fun.
Do you have, like, trips planned?
I have, like, places I want to go, and as soon as I'm done school and money and time off is a thing... There's definitely a lot of places I want to go and people I want to see. Like, I'd love to ski Jackson Hole, and I've got friends that live out there. And I know that I'd have people to show me around at a lot of the big mountains out there, but just don't have the means yet.
Yeah, or the time, right? Like, I mean,
or
the
time.
It's, time's the killer. That's what gets me, for sure.
You know, and generally the skiing is pretty good around here, especially if you live around here, so you get to ski... when it's good.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I don't need to, you know, drive 7 hours to go to Whitewater or go to Whitefish in Montana.
Do you pick your days? Like, have you gotten to that point now, like, that you've been here for long enough where you're like, you know when it's good and you only want to go ski when it's good?
No, because you can always find POW.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing around here is there's great ski touring, especially side hill kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you can go and, you know, crush some groomers in the morning and then go and do some, POW laps.
Go find something.
In the afternoon. And
same feeling for that?
I think there's this attitude, and like maybe it sometimes comes from a city or whatever, but I have so many people that will say, oh, we were there last weekend and it wasn't that good. And I'm always like, people don't take conditions reports from me because every time I'm like, it's skiing great. It's so fun. And that's me every time. So I don't understand how people think their conditions are bad because it is just always a good time whenever I go. Like, I don't get it.
I'm not
it's never that bad. Because we don't get the big thing with here is we don't get like a ton of snow, but it never melts and it's cold, right? So you don't get the kind of freeze, thaw, refreeze, icy, like super icy conditions. It definitely gets firm, but as long as you go in the morning when they groom it,
you pretty good.
Yeah, you can arc some big fast turns down those groomers.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had this cycle this year. I forget who I was talking to. Somebody, like I was at Free Skier Test last week in Aspen, and somebody there said, and I can't remember right now, but all New England has had this year, it's been like, it snows on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday, and then it like freezes, like fucking freezes, and then rains, and then freezes again by like Sunday. So like you come to like Monday, Tuesday, it's less like, it's boilerplate. Like it's like snow with complete like ice skating rink
bulletproof over it. Yeah. I mean, I grew up again skiing at JP Cliff. That's
Jay's good though. Like that's our good. Like that's our good. That's the best. That's what everybody hopes for. Everybody that's listening in New England right now is probably like, Jay's the best, man. Like, what is he talking about? Yeah.
Jay gets a ton of snow. Like honestly, more snow than here by quite a lot.
Really?
Yeah. And I've had the deepest days of my life there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the snow here is different though. It's light. It's like
it is light, fluffy. Yeah.
Yeah, which is like I was telling you earlier. It's like, it's a totally different thing. Like you're literally like it's in your face. Like it's unbelievable.
Yeah, because like my sister, she moved out here, and then I used to come visit, and I would kind of be like, oh, you know, it doesn't snow. Like we, I'd go to Revelstoke, and stuff, and then, but once you start skiing here, and you kind of figure it all out, and like 5 centimeters.
Yeah.
Which is nothing, like 2 inches.
Yeah, exactly.
But that at Lake Louise, if there's a bit of wind and it's blowing some snow on the back, like, it can be so good.
That's
and
such
nobody's
a
there. And it's, and almost those are better than like the big dump days. Yeah. Then you're fighting people for powder and stuff. And
what I always say is 10 cm here, it's like 15 anywhere else. Like, whatever the lake gets.
You're right.
Whatever you get anywhere else, it's not the same because it's just so dry. Like you can have 10 cm, but it's still hitting you in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's super light, yeah. And then when you do get the epic days, like we had one day this year where it was like 50, 70 centimeters over 30, 48 hours or something, and it was so
that's incredible. So ridiculous. It's also like I still haven't worked out. I know the conversion, but like I haven't worked it out in my head to like physically like to picture it in my head. So like when you say 70, I'm like
divide by 2.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll basically get there. But yeah.
It's like it's the picturing. It's not like the numbers that I have a problem with. It's like seeing that. It's like when I hear 70, I'm like, imagine what 70 inches of snow would look like. And then I'm like, it's a room full of snow. That's like fucking dope.
Hand motion it because I cannot for the life of me understand American units either.
It doesn't
either
make sense. Yeah, no.
Because it just doesn't make sense to anyone that isn't American.
No, it doesn't make sense to me. I am American. It doesn't make sense. It's so dumb.
It's 30 centimeters is 1 foot.
You're right.
And 15 centimeters is 6 inches.
There you go. That's good math.
So a 6-inch powder day is a good day, right? So that's like 15 centimeters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then 30 would be a foot. So 60 would be 2 feet. And then 70 would be like, over 2 feet.
They got to figure it out. They should just redo it and like change it. And we should just jump on the metric system. But
you should. It makes sense. That's the beauty of the metric system.
Yeah.
That's the reason that we did it.
Unfortunately, I don't make that call. And I definitely don't think Trump's smart enough to
no
change that either. So I think we're probably just going to live with it. Just, no, I mean, it's he doesn't listen to this, so it doesn't really matter.
But like, to be fair, you're not, you know, because Renee, how tall are you?
How tall am I?
Yeah.
5'6".
See,
well, that's a good point. That's a good. That's a very good point.
How much do you? I mean, I'm not going to ask you, but how much do you weigh?
214 pounds.
Okay, but if you ask me, I'm a guy. Because I can't ask Renee how much she weighs.
Right.
But yeah, I weigh like 160.
Yeah.
And I would say 160. I wouldn't say that I weigh.
Really?
Yeah. Like a kilo.
Why?
See, I say it that way because that's how people understand it. But in the healthcare system, it's all metric.
Yeah.
It's all kilograms because that's how you calculate all your medications. It's.
I think because Canada like is very influenced by American culture. So just like those small things. So mostly we use metric for most stuff. But for, like your height, your weight.
Yeah.
But how fast do you drive? It's kilometers. But that's because it's on the highway. So you get used to that.
Yeah, that's the one that really fucks me up, I think. Is driving speed. Like even though it's on our dashboards, like it still doesn't like, I don't have a concept of it, you know? Like it's like when I'm driving or like today, like on the way to like it was like 8 kilometers to go. And I was like, still 8 miles away, huh? Like, we're still not there. And now I was like, oh, no, it's like a 2 minutes, 3 minutes, yeah, something like that. Like, it's easy. So,
yeah. But, and what, it's like 1.6, I think?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Ridiculous conversions. They don't make any sense.
I know
that
one.
They should change them.
But I only know that one from running track and field.
Yeah, there you go. That makes sense.
That's, but even then, like, in the States, they do, like, the 1 mile a lot, I think. Here, yeah, it's 1,500 meters. They don't even... it's different.
They do the mile thing less now, you know, like, it seems like in track, I mean, and I could be talking out of my ass, like, I, from what I know, like, I definitely see more of the meter thing for sure, especially when, yeah, you get to a higher level. Maybe when you're like competing in like middle school, they're like, this is a mile, because, or like, this is 4 laps around the track. That's what we used to do. It was like in track, yeah, it was like the 4 laps around the track is a mile, and that's all you need to know, like, and that's the simple part of it. But yeah, so what do you guys do in the summer? What is there to do in the summer around here?
Mountain biking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mountain biking is super popular. Rock climbing.
Yeah.
A lot of rock climbers.
What do you do?
Dan's really into golf.
Golf, yeah.
Are you serious?
Which is, I know, so lame.
No, but, it's a, dude.
But East Coast, a lot of people ski, then golf in the summer. That's kind of a normal thing. I think that's why, because I grew up.
Yeah.
And yeah, I basically skied in the winter, and then I played golf and sailing in the summer.
Hmm. And, that's so funny.
There's no sailing out here, but the golf course, the Banff Springs golf course, is like one of the best in the world.
So, really?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
That's another one. I don't even know how to relate to golf. Like, I get so angry when I play golf that I can't, like, I just can't play. I can't do it. Like, it's just because it's so, and it's funny, I feel the same way about billiards. They're both things that I like really want to be good at. Like, I want to be good at pool, but like, I'm not. And they take like small technical skills like to be really good at. And I was like, we were like at the bar last night just hanging out and like watching this guy that definitely was like a pro player,
yeah,
smash everybody that we're with and like just run through them with no effort, and it's like
just having a great time.
Just he's having a great time, yeah, and everybody else we're with is like all getting angry because they're losing, and that's how. That's how.
Yeah, golf can be super frustrating, but the thing is that it's really kind of it's an amazing mental sport because it actually is really easy because the ball's not moving.
It's so easy. It's,
well, you know, it's not reactive. It's not baseball or hockey.
Yeah,
and so the only thing that fucks it up is you.
Yeah, it's right? True. But
and so once you kind of get the basics of it, it's really all in your head. And once you can kind of, and you get these breakthrough where you all of a sudden can get really good.
Yeah. But yeah.
Like I shot 69 for the first time this summer, which sick. Is 2 under par. It's pretty good.
That's really good. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, golf is just not a, I don't know. And you don't ride mountain bikes, you just golf.
I do ride mountain bikes, yeah. But I just, the problem with out here is you got to have a really expensive mountain bike.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why you got to work in a shop.
Yeah. And you got one.
Yeah, get a shop gig. That's
so you can only have so many, you know, activities.
Expensive hobbies, yeah.
And so all of a sudden, yeah, if you get into mountain biking and then, oh, rock climbing. And then you don't think that's expensive until you have to buy all these ropes and all this gear.
A lot of small stuff.
And then, you know what? I thought maybe I want to get a sled for ski touring.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be great. Yeah, so.
Is that a big thing here?
Not in Banff, but a lot of people go to Golden and Revelstoke.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
But generally, ski sledding is very popular.
Yeah, for sure.
It seems like kind of bigger and bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's weird that something like that is growing in a time that, like, everybody seems to be pushing away from, like, having gas-powered stuff. Like, but sleds are definitely, like, every year you see more and more pros. Like, oh, I got a new sled, and now this is what I'm going to do. Like, this
Oh, yeah, it's almost like kind of you have to have one.
Yeah.
If you want to get into the game.
Yeah, because you can't. I mean, hiking and being self-powered and stuff is nice, but
it's just the access so you can bomb out to a zone, and then you can do skin up laps of that, but the people that are filming you can just be positioned.
Yeah.
And so, see, that's a lot faster.
It's probably nice for you, right?
Like, I haven't done much filming because in Banff here, we can't use sleds.
Oh, really?
So it's all...
Yeah. National Park.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which is great, though, because honestly, like, I have been sled skiing sometimes, and it's just so loud.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going around, and you just... Bah!
Yeah.
And it definitely kind of ruins the serenity of the skin track. But in Banff and the surrounding parks, Yoho and Kootenay.
Right.
Yeah, you go out there and it's just so quiet.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I even relate to the sled thing. It's a lot of stuff that I don't really relate to at all, but it's all right. Like, I just like going skiing, and that's, I think, what this is all.
Yeah.
This is all.
And it's kind of funny because the more people, like, you know, I have a lot of friends that have sleds, and the more they get into it, the more they get into just the sledding.
Really?
And almost like they forget about the skiing.
Yeah.
Because they just have so much fun bombing around. And
I've heard that happen, actually. I had David Lesh, if you know who that is. I had him on a few weeks ago, and he was saying the same thing. He's like, I loved being a pro skier, but I like sledding a lot. Like, sledding is a lot of fun. Like, I spend almost as many days, if not more, sledding now, and which is crazy to me. Like, but I feel like I'll probably get into it too, and that's like a thing I'll try to avoid. I just won't get a sled, and then I'll be fine.
Exactly. Yeah. And don't buy a truck. So you need a truck to get a sled.
I have a truck, so that's then, already
you
know, like a
mark. You need a garage to keep the sled.
No.
So, you know, all of a sudden.
I don't need a sled. I'm like, I'm from Western Mass. I don't need a sled. Like, there's nothing like that's even remote. There's nothing skiable, you know, within an hour, you know, that you could even think about using a sled at, you know?
So yeah.
It's just not, yeah, there doesn't make any sense. How'd you get into filming and photography?
Yeah, like my dad kind of grew up in the film industry, and he worked at the National Film Board in Canada, which is like a big documentary kind of thing. Yeah, he was actually nominated for 2 Oscars.
Nice.
Shout out to my dad.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Andy Thompson. And then I didn't really have any interest in it, to be honest, but really? I studied history at university, and then I ended up getting a job as a historical researcher for like documentaries. And then just working through that, I kind of started to get into it.
No.
And because like when I was in school, I loved essays. And like writing, it was like my favorite part of school was writing essays.
Yeah.
And then kind of documentaries is like very similar, right? And it just kind of evolved into that. And then once you start working in these things, you're like, oh, well, I want to learn how to use that camera. And then, what are you editing over here? Can I learn how to do that? And you just kind of learn it all.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. But my passion is really on the storytelling.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and also like helping people, honestly, is I love having that kind of positive impact.
Yeah.
So like, you know, when I'm working with Renee and it's so great to see her do stuff, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And like the film I did with Alex and, you know, to see that do so well and lead her, you know, kind of help her out a lot. It was like, you know, super satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. She's super psyched on it, sounds like. And I'm sure you are too. Like it's gotta be nice to have somebody that knows what they're doing behind the lens too, right? Like.
Oh, totally. I'm so useless when someone hands me a camera. Not too bad at iPhone photography, but then someone gives me a real camera and I'm like, oh, what are these buttons? How do I... And I'm just used to having someone like Dan around all the time. And
Well, I remember last year...
He does the photos, I do the skiing.
Showed Renee the burst mode on her iPhone.
Oh, nice.
And that was a real game changer for her.
Huge game changer.
iPhones are pretty good cameras, man. Like, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, on, like, the second or third podcast that I ever did, I asked this girl that's a photographer, like, you know, what's the difference to you between, like, using an iPhone and using a camera? And she was just like, I don't know. It's kind of the same. I just like a camera, you know? But, like, what do you think? What do you like about having a camera? I mean, obviously, there's more options.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I used to not only, but I would just, you know, I wouldn't bring my camera a lot of times. And I would just have my phone and get some photos.
Yeah.
But then, like, you know, I kind of just made a commitment to start to use my big camera more.
Yeah.
Because it is just, it's a lot better.
Quality's better. Different
experience.
Just
the lens, and you can, get the depth of field. The problem, though, is you can fuck it up a lot because the focus, you have to get focus. Where an iPhone, you don't have to worry about focusing, right? Everything's in focus.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, so with all of a sudden, So, you know, I mess up a lot, to be honest. Everybody does.
Yeah.
So that's why sometimes when the skiers are like, oh, I fucked that up, I'm sorry. You're like, oh, yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
You did. Yeah, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
Definitely you.
Well, sometimes it goes the other way, and you're like, oh, man, I totally messed that up. And he's like, no, that's the shot of the day.
Really?
Yeah, well, the thing with photos and unlike like filming is because filming you need to get like, you know, sections.
Yeah.
So a couple seconds.
Right.
Right? Of like pretty good skiing or
right.
But for a photo, it's just the frame. You know, it's the snap of a millisecond.
Right.
So even like, you know, you might do a terrible turn. You're like, oh. But, you know, there's one millisecond where it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. So a lot of ski acting.
A lot of ski modeling, yeah.
Yeah,
we'll call the one turn wonders.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's not a thing. That's a secret. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, everybody's been blowing that up lately on social media. Like, if you haven't noticed, everybody talks about this, especially like the Salomon athletes, like all of them, like Stan Ray, especially. Like he's, I mean, obviously he's a good skier, but like he's like, all I did today was ski act. Pretty much, didn't actually ski at all. Like it's, I mean, it's what it is, right? It's part of the game, I guess.
It's a total different ball game, and
Yeah.
Like, there is more pressure now to, like, if you don't gram it, did you really do it?
Yeah, were you really there?
Like, yeah, like, yeah. You got to prove that you're actually out skiing, and sometimes it's those one-turn wonders or just trying to strike a balance between, like, actually getting rad photos and everything else.
And right. Skiing, yeah. Like, what I'll usually do, because I'm, you know, I'm a skier first.
Right.
And I definitely kind of have that approach when I'm out there doing stuff. But if it's a powder day, I want to ski.
Yeah.
And then we'll go find some pockets, and then we'll do some, you know, woo, yeah, get right. A good photo.
Yeah.
But, yeah, very rarely would I be whooping out my camera on a first track.
That's time. A good, yeah, that's a good attitude to have, I think, because otherwise, like, that's the thing that doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, how can you be out there on a powder day and not want to go ski?
Yeah.
You know? Like,
now, if you're filming, like, sometimes I have filmed powder days, which is, like, the most painful thing ever.
Yeah.
But that's different because, again, you have footage and you want to get the untouched.
You need it, yeah.
You know, because you're trying to promote the... Because, again, a photo is very... Photo is so different than filming.
Yeah.
Because it's just one image that you can totally control.
It's a tough life, man. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, you got to give it up sometimes.
And yeah.
Do it for the video, you know?
Yeah. So,
how has Instagram changed photography? That's kind of a general question, but it's like...
I would say that it's... I mean... Generally, I mean, it's one thing how it's funny how it's promoted photography in a way because everybody wants this content.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of devalued the art of photography.
Yeah.
Because there's so much of it. So it's hard to kind of, you know, what is good and what is bad. I don't know. Because it is, there's so many benefits.
Yeah.
To be able to share your work, get it out there.
Yeah. And the exposure.
Especially
huge.
With like social media. So you don't have to, you know, you don't need to get your stuff published in a magazine. And that, you know, like 15 years ago was really the only way to start doing this.
Yeah. Right? Or it's the only way you even really become a pro, right?
Yeah.
It's
like you take a bunch of photos and then you'd submit them and you'd hope somebody would publish it.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't. And then you just have a bunch of photos
that you just took and they're great and all, but you just share your buddies or something and that's it.
Mm-hmm. But the turn of that is that like magazines and stuff, they want stuff that's not on Instagram.
Yeah.
So if you get, you know, a really good photo, you got to be like, oh, I can't post that.
Yeah, save it.
Yeah, and that can kind of lead to some, oh, what, can I get that photo? You're like, whoa.
Yeah, you can't really have it. It's too good. Like, you can't actually have, that's got to be a weird thing. Huh.
Or you can't post it because, and then you don't know for months that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why. Huh. That's funny. I never thought about that.
Yeah, so like the big time photographers will pretty, they won't necessarily post their, until it gets posted by wherever it gets published, and then they get to share it.
Yeah. It's weird what's going on with magazines too, though, huh? Like, it's social media, I think, has affected magazines more than it's affected.
Yeah, well, like transboard snowboarding, right?
Just close. Yeah, that's unbelievable. And it was so out of the blue. I mean, obviously, like, everybody knows, like, magazines have not been the same since the internet, basically. But that was just, like, very abrupt. It was just.
Yeah, like, I guess it's because they were bought and it's, like, this huge kind of media group.
Yeah, I think it's 10 publishers. So
So they only need one snowboarding outlet.
Yeah.
So. I guess they already had snowboarding magazine or whatever. So
right.
We're going to keep that instead.
Yeah, we don't need Transworld. Yeah.
But Transworld will just become that.
Yeah.
Instead of having multiple snowboard magazines, they'll have one.
It seems smart. I don't know. I guess it's probably a good business move.
I still like to pick up ski magazines. I love to flip through. And the more and more people you know in the ski industry, like now I flip it open. And I'm like, oh, I know that person. And oh, there's a friend there.
Right.
Like, it's kind of cool flipping through them now where you actually know people that are in there.
Right.
It's fun.
Different thing.
Yeah. And seeing like, it's different. Yeah. The magazine. It's just because social media and it's all kind of disposable content. Right.
Yeah.
But we're like something that's printed. And it's like, you know, forever. Volume 1 of 2019.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, like the Ski Journal. I love the Ski Journal.
Ski Journal's awesome.
Because, it's very...
They do a really good job. It's, I should reach out to them and talk to them a little more. Like, they actually, that's one of the few, I think, that actually...
Yeah, because they're based in real Vermont, right, I think?
I don't know.
It's Backcountry Mag that's in Vermont.
Yeah. I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's California. Because I think Mike Rogie
does it,
right? Yeah, it's
a Surfers Journal. It's the same people,
I think. Yeah, Rogie does it, I think. So he's, I don't know. Yeah.
And they actually have a golfer's journal.
Do they really?
That they just started, yeah.
Nice.
And it's the same kind of people.
I'm sure they did it just for you so you can. Yeah. And all the other ski golfers in the world, yeah.
I'll stick to the Ski Journal personally.
Yeah, I'm for sure. Yeah, I'm definitely out on the golf part. But I'm sure there's plenty of people out
if
there.
If you like Pictures of Scotland, you know, some haggis.
I like Pictures of Scotland. I mean, that's a good thing for sure. Oh, hey. We got visitors. Pause. We're going to pause real quick. All right, let's jump back into it. Everybody's going to have fun at the hot springs. Is that a thing? Like, is that like a place? Do you guys actually?
The locals don't go there, no. Really? Because it's like a pool. It's not what you're imagining of like a natural hot springs.
Yeah.
And I think the water comes from a natural hot springs. It was like pumped up.
Yeah.
To the swimming pool area.
Got it. Okay, so it's a different thing. So I don't need to like rush over there, right?
But it's definitely a good tourist thing you want to check off the list.
Yeah.
To say you did it.
Okay. Yeah. I'll do it next time.
But yeah. But they actually have these like snails in the actual hot springs.
Yep.
These very famous Banff snail, super endangered. So that's why they're closed. Yeah. Some guy just got caught swimming with them too.
Huge fine.
Really?
Oh yeah.
What is it? He was just swimming with them? I don't get what.
I think he jumped in there. But these snails, like that one pool is the only place where this species of snail lives. That's why they're so, like, it's such a big deal.
Hit them with a big fine, huh?
Someone went in there because it just puts them at risk. But yeah, it's like this special Banff Springs snail.
Hmm. That's crazy.
Super random. One of those is a cave and basin, which is like a tourist kind of stop. And they have like real hot springs in the basement of that place.
Huh.
But you can't swim there. I don't think you can go down there anymore.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. But it's like, imagine how cool this place would have been when that was still a thing. And that's why Banff is Banff, because of the springs.
Yeah.
But it's funny how the modern tourists, we don't get to see that.
Yeah.
Because it's, protected.
It's funny, like, what locals do and what they like and what tourists do. Like, what's just a tourist attraction, you know? Like, when I go somewhere new, like, I try to get, like, the actual, like, what people actually want to do or what the locals do. Like, what, like, why you guys like shit, why you guys don't like shit,
you know? I mean, you get a mix of both. Like, you can't go to Lake Louise and not go up to the lake or, like, something like that where, like, everyone does it, but they do it for a reason because it's so pretty up there.
Yeah.
But then when you're a local, you're like, hey, I've been there, like, I'm going to go at this time of the day or this time of the day because I don't want to deal with anyone at the other times of the day when it's crazy busy and, like, you can't even move.
Right.
Yeah, the trick is early mornings during the summer season.
Yeah.
Because even, like, Moraine Lake, which is beautiful, and you kind of never get sick of that place, but if you're not there by 7 or even earlier sometimes, like, you will not get a parking spot.
That's crazy. It doesn't seem that busy here, though.
Winter is kind of like summer, the off-season.
Oh, summer's busier, really?
Summer, yeah. Basically, like, kind of June, July, August, September is...
God damn, man. I know nothing about this place. Like, it's so crazy.
And July and August is, like, it's almost like a weekend. Like, every day,
it could
be a Saturday.
Yeah.
Wow. I would have never guessed it. Like, I mean, I guess it's beautiful, but, I mean, I would have never thought of that. Most places that you go in the winter, it's like they're a place because of the winter attraction, you know?
No, yeah. Yeah, Banff is, I mean, it's still very popular in the wintertime, but it's way busier in the summer. Because we get tons of, you know, from all over the world, you know, these huge tour groups.
Yeah.
It's Japanese, Chinese, Australian.
Cool.
Yeah. APT tours, ABD tours.
There's so many things to do, like so many amazing hikes, but there's these statistics that so many people don't actually go very far off the beaten track. They're just like in the main areas, not very far from the highway ever. So they really don't see like all the coolest spots there are. But I mean, you don't have to go very far to see anything cool here. So
it's true. You can see literally not right here. I mean, we got another hotel. But I mean, if you sit like the hot tubs we were in last night was great. Like, you see everything. Like, it's awesome.
Beautiful.
Went over the other ones with like the rooftop one or whatever. I don't know. Seemed nice. Seems fancy.
Yeah, and Banff is like super kind of quaint little town because it's really walkable if you're here. So you don't need to rent a car.
Right.
They have the ski buses. Like, it really is a great place to come on a ski holiday.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And like, you might not get a powder day, but it'll be cold. So you won't get that kind of boilerplate. Yeah. Like, you're guaranteed to get winter.
Yeah, we hit it pretty good. I was psyched that we got any snow at all. Like, that's all I wanted, so we got that. What about skis? What do you guys like for skis? What are you skiing on? What's the ticket?
Well, I am not, semi-professional skier.
Yeah, so right.
I have to pay for my skis.
Yeah.
So I basically, we have a ski swap in town.
Yeah.
The beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And you kind of just go there, and I just pick whatever the cheapest kind
whatever
of ski
want.
That I can beat up.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna beat the shit out of it. because there's lots of rocks.
That's awesome. I respect that. Like, that's what you want. Like, I'm like the opposite, where like I get access to all the gear and I have all the shit and I barely like use any of it because there's so like it's.
Yeah, once you get into skiing with like kind of, you know, rock skis.
Yeah, right.
Almost, it's more fun because you don't care. About, yeah. So you're like, rock, woo, turn on it. And I think, you know, if you get free skis, then it can be similarly fun because you're not as worried about it. But there's nothing worse than, you know, paying $1,200 for a new pair of DPS skis and then like you almost don't want to ski on them.
And core shotting the shit out of them,
I work in a ski shop, so I'm all versed on the lingo.
Yeah.
Right now I'm skiing for Sago Ski Co., which is out of the States. They're pretty big, like Targhee, Jackson Hole, and their skis are built pretty awesome. Like, the bases are unbeatable. I've literally skied shale on them, and the bases are fine.
Yeah.
But I work at Outside Bike and Ski in Canmore. Shout out to those guys.
Good plug.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Total plug. They deserve it. And I've just been trying out some new skis through work the last few weeks, some stuff that we're looking to bring in, because they're all bikers for the most part, and I'm kind of the main skier chick in the shop, so I've been kind of checking out all the different skis we're selling and
that's awesome.
Lining them up next to each other and kind of giving them the old ski test, which is super fun.
So what are your thoughts, Renee?
So what are my thoughts? This could be a really long conversation.
No, go. Yeah, like,
well, this just, is what we want, right? Point the
cold. You don't have to say everything, like, about every ski, but, like, what do you like? Like, I mean...
Yeah, it comes down to, like, personal preference with skis sometimes. Like,
What
I like is not always what other people like, but I skied the RMU North Shore 108 a couple weeks ago, and I was pleasantly surprised by it. Like, hadn't snowed in a while, but that thing like really holds an edge on the hard snow. That was what surprised me the most, but like really poppy, really fun. Yeah, that was a good ski to try because they're kind of expensive, so now I'll be able to sell them.
Yeah, for sure. That's the most important, like, people. I tell people that all the time. Like, you have to be able to ski. Like, you have to ski the stuff you're going to sell it, you know?
Yeah.
You have to know the I mean, obviously, you can sell a random ski or a rental ski to anybody because you know what it does. Well, it's made for a specific purpose.
But there's so many skis you can just give a generic, like, this is the shape of it, this is what's going to be good for, and that works for like 90% of people probably.
Right.
But
that 10%, you gotta know your shit.
We're bringing in Fisher next year, so that's my thing for this weekend, is I'm going to go try a couple of those and compare them. And that's my next demo ski I'm going to take out for a rip.
Yeah.
It's for work. It's good.
Yeah. Fisher Skis is our title sponsor. So like I pretty much can only say nice things about Fisher. So I can't say, I can't say anything mean about Fisher, right? Like,
Skis are the best.
Yeah, they're awesome. No, I'm just kidding. I like, part of my deal was like, I need to be able to say whatever I want about every ski still. Like, I need, like, that's, I'm not going to have a ski sponsor that's like, you can't talk about Blizzard. You can't talk about Nordic. You're like, you can't do that. Like, that wouldn't make any sense. It's a podcast. Like, I'm not a professional skier. I just talk.
Fisher is like an old ski company too.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of history.
Yeah. It used to be. That's the thing, I think, and that's why this fits for them, is like, because they want to change their branding kind of. Like, they don't want to just market the racers. They want to market to people that are in the backcountry, people that ski. People people that like
and
that
I think
fun.
Their free ride line is going to be fun. Like, I know people that ski on it just from competitions and whatnot. And like, I'm like, if those guys like it, I'll probably like it. So. We'll see. I'll find out.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I love that 94, not just because they gave it to me. Like, I think it's, I really had such a good time on it. It's nice, but whatever. It's, I don't know. I'm also not like, I like a certain thing and I've skied enough skis and I know what I like and I like what I like and that's it. Like, there's nothing.
That's
nothing
how I am too.
Yeah.
And it's just the kind of skiing I like to do. Like, if I have a ski that chatters, that's it. Like, can't be bothered.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's do some Instagram questions, huh?
Let's do it.
Both got some, so. Just surprising, actually, because Dan, I didn't put yours up early enough.
Woo!
I put it up too late, but we still got some. So this first one's for Renee. Balancing school and life and shred life is a doozy. How do you do it? And, what are some of the things you do to help wind down? That's from E.Lit.
Ah, Evan.
Do you know that person? Okay, cool.
What's up? No, he's a fellow university ambassador for Lake Louise, so he is living the student trying to ski life. And it's tough. Like, I start assignments, like I was telling you, this term paper that I'm working on right now, I have to start them so early. So it's just like that 30 minutes that I can work on it every other day, it just adds up so that I can still go skiing. So when everyone else is just starting their papers like 2 days ago and it's due tomorrow, I've been working on it for weeks already, but it's almost done. So like stuff like that where I'm just so far ahead on everything just so I can space it out and still get at least one ski day a week. Mm. And I'm working two casual part-time jobs, so I work at least 1 day a week, sometimes both on the same day, so like 16 hours straight.
Right.
Which sucks, but that means that I still have a full day to ski left over on the weekend. Right. So
it's the hustle. It's ski town hustle.
It's a grind, yeah. Mm-hmm. But like what I always say is I want to go skiing so bad that those are the things that I'm going to do to get out skiing.
Right.
So everyone always is like, I don't know how you do it. You're so busy, but I just got to go skiing.
Yeah, that's your priority.
Like, that's the bottom line is if I don't get that one ski day a week, like I'm just going to be miserable.
Yeah.
But I think also is Renee is a great role model for a lot of kind of people that want to, you know, ski all the time because a lot of people move out here to Revelstoke or to Whistler and there's, I'm just going to ski, but they're necessarily not kind of doing anything with their life. They're just skiing and ski bumming, or they want to, you know, try to become ski famous.
Right.
And that, you know, never really works, does it, right? So Renee is going to school because she wants to be a nurse and she's skiing. So it's like...
It's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a good role model, actually. Yeah. That's a good point.
I'm just living out the student ski bum dream.
Yeah. But you're working
for
it.
The ultimate dream is to be a part-time nurse for the ski season.
Right.
So you just get a couple shifts a week and then ski. That'd be the night shift.
Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, rad ski nurse is 100% what I'm going for with this profession. And that's like, awesome. I like helping people and all that. And I really like the healthcare, like learning everything about the body and medications. Like, that's totally up my alley. But it's also that work life balance that I'm going for. Like, when I'm done school, I'm going to get to ski so many more days. Get a truck and a sled. It's going to be awesome. Be able to go to whichever competitions I want to go to.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It'll be good. That's what I'm going for.
Dan.
All right, I'm ready.
Favorite lens to use? Well, that's kind of a general question.
Favorite lens. So I am a Sony shooter, but with Canon lenses. Which is kind of weird, but it's because I used to be Canon, and then I switched because of the video, because Canon sucks, unfortunately, but I still love Canon. So I have, like my wide, which is I think 18 to 40. That's usually the one I use the most for ski photography, because it's just easier and faster. But I love to use my long lens kind of down the barrel, and I have like a 70-200 L lens, and if I can, you know, break that out and you can get some really nice shots, it's because you can get that kind of depth of field and you can compress the frame, but that's a lot harder.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to be fast because with the focus, it's a lot harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I'm filming, I use just a native Sony lens just because autofocus. Because for gimbal stuff, you absolutely need autofocus. Yeah. So even though I might want to use my different lenses, but then you can't be. Mess around with that,
yeah, makes more sense. Cool.
When you said lens, I was thinking like goggle lens. I was like, oh yeah, I know all about this.
What's your favorite goggle lens? Yeah, that's what I'm gonna ask the photographer. Yeah. That's funny. Cool. Well, I appreciate you guys doing this. This has been awesome. This is your time to plug. So if you have stuff to plug or companies you want to shout out or things that you're doing, this is your time. So go for it. And obviously social media handles. People need the social media handles.
Okay. Yeah. Renee goes first.
Yep. Okay. Instagram, at Renee McCurds. That is me. Shout outs to Sego Ski Co., Yeti Research Co., Hydro Flask, Outside bike and ski, ski big three, obviously. And yeah, thanks for having us here.
Anytime. Anytime.
Stoked to drive straight from school for this. That was, yeah. It was really worth it.
That's awesome. Good. Good. I'm glad.
Okay. So my Instagram is at Dano Thompson. And you can whatever follow that for the photos, lots of photos, and then golf photos in the summer. Get ready for that. It goes from white to green.
You need that. Yeah, everybody needs that in their life.
And then I guess I would love is to thank Ski Big Three, Sarah Pearson, and Tara Swanson.
Cool.
And I just, yeah, I do a lot of work with them, and I love working with them because they're so positive and pumped.
Yeah.
And they just love good content. And I love everybody on the Ski Big Three team, actually.
Yeah.
Because they're all super fun to ski with.
It's yeah. a good crew.
It is a great crew this year, yeah.
Yeah, seems like
and,
it.
Yeah, and just generally, you know, what I kind of love, I'm actually working on a project for next year, kind of about the community here, but I love the kind of Bow Valley ski community because everybody here is super nice. There's no ego because there's no, like, scene like there is at, yeah. like, Whistler or Squaw or right. Revelstoke. You know, so there's no, oh, I'm a better skier than you. Right. Everybody's just kind of generally...
Pumped. Everybody's good and everybody's happy.
Yeah. yeah. And then I also, big shout out is to Lake Louise Ski Patrol. Yeah. Snow Safety, because I love those guys.
Yeah.
And they're really the reason we get to have so much fun, because they do all the work.
Yeah, thank a ski patroller for real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I worked there, so.
Yeah, yeah, you can thank yourself. It's, so that's fine.
No, I'm just telling you, it's a sweet team they've got up there. Like,
yeah.
So fun. Like, the most fun job I have ever had. And like I was telling you earlier, the year I patrolled there, I skied 140 days in one season. So it's the best job if you want to ski and you like to help people. And that's what, like, I have so many friends I made from there where you just have that common ground of, like, nice people that are good at skiing and like to ski.
Right.
The perfect crowd.
Yeah, and they're also, like, so pumped on other people skiing, you know? So you'd think, oh, they're trying to save powder for themselves. But no, they love dropping ropes.
Right.
And it's almost like, yeah. And they go, can we open it to the public? And they just, woo! And they just love it. And the biggest smiles on their face.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so much
That's good
fun.
To hear.
Yeah.
That's really good to hear. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for doing this.
Thank right. you. Well,
thank you guys for listening, whoever's listening.
Woo! Thank you guys. Woo woo!
All right. Beauty.
That was episode number 56, probably, with Renee McCurdy and Dan Thompson. Be sure to follow them on social media as they have plugged. Thank you to Burn Helmets for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Be sure to use promo code Out of Bounds on their website if you decide to buy a new lid and save yourself some dough and help support the show. I mean, really, like, it's that's the kind of stuff that we need to keep this thing rolling. So buy a lid and support the show. As usual, leave us a review on iTunes if you can. It is just you just go to the iTunes thing, scroll down, go write a review. Either write a review or just leave us 5 stars. Either way, I really appreciate it. It helps other people find the show when they're scrolling through the podcast app. I don't know why they value that one thing very highly, but they do. So it's an important thing for us to keep growing this thing. And it's growing. And I'm super, super psyched. I'm glad you guys are all a part of it. And I guess that's it for now. We'll talk to you guys with whoever the next episode is. Thanks.